How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish. Laugh out loud. Accept unconditionally. Navigate the negative and trust in your truth.
Hello, welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. This is going to be the most different show ever, and let me tell you why. This afternoon, I was planning on recording this show, and what I was planning on doing was recording a show about how to connect with your spirit guides. Because I've had so many people lately tell me that they want to tap in to their intuition and they want to learn how to channel, or they want to learn how to connect with deceased loved ones, or they just want to connect with their own angels and their own guides for their own benefit in life. So I've been in the process of, you know, working on a class and putting together a class, and I thought, this is perfect. Not only am I going to put together a class, but I'm going to do a radio show on the same topic. And because I'm just so motivated, I'm also going to put together like an online class, one of the, you know, courses that people who don't happen to live in Colorado can purchase, and they can learn how to connect with their own guides and how to increase their own intuition as well. So as I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about how to put the show together, my husband says, why don't we go take a hike? It's kind of cool today. It was over 100 the last 2 days, and today is blissfully in the high 70s. And I thought, that would be great. I'm just going to kind of walk and talk, and I'm going to go over with, you know, him some of the ideas on how to connect with your spirit guides. And he has wanted to work on his own intuition, and he has wanted a better relationship with his guides as well. So I thought, this will be win-win. I can practice what I'm about to say. I can do some of the exercises with him. He can have the experience, and then he can see, you know, if it works, and I can get my wording right. So I thought, this is going to be great. So he and I take off, and we're on this hike, and I said, explain it all to him, and he's totally excited, and we're going to do this. Well, it was the weirdest thing ever. I launch into the basic description of what is energy and how do we read it. And yes, I'm going to go into that in this hour, don't worry. But about halfway through, I started channeling. And I channel when I do angel readings. It's all energy. But as I am explaining to him how I read energy and teaching him how to connect with energy, I start channeling a whole bunch of information on why we connect with spirit guides, how we connect with spirit guides, what our intuition is, what it means, like literally everything. And it's so much deeper than I even realized. It's so much deeper than I knew. It was so amazing that my husband actually pulled out his cell phone and hit voice record, and he started recording me because he kept saying, we can't lose this stuff. This is unbelievable. And I'm like, I know it's unbelievable, but I'm not really hearing it because I'm just channeling it. So we're home now. I have not even changed from the hike. I am like literally just walked in the door, but I want to get some of this out, and I want to start rechanneling some of this information that I learned while it is fresh, because I think it is incredibly life-changing. Not only for me, but for anybody who hears it. And what I found actually the most interesting about it is, as I am channeling all of this information, when I wrap up, my husband says, wow, who were you talking to? And I said, wow, that's a really interesting question, because I talk to my guides all the time. I talk to spirit all the time. I don't know who I was talking to. Sometimes I know, oh yes, that's Jesus, or yes, that is my grandma, or that is so-and-so. But oftentimes I just hear, and I'm not quite sure. Is it my guide? Is it collective consciousness? Who is it? I don't know, because I've never asked that, because it's a voice that I know, and it's a voice that I have always trusted and that has always been with me. And because it's always been with me, it's just something that I have never questioned. So he asked me, and I asked, who are you? Because I don't know who you are. And I loved the answer. The answer that came is, I'm the librarian. And since you're not me, you might not understand how impactful that is. So let me explain. The librarian to me is so important and so moving. I was a lawyer. One of my favorite places to be was the library. I wanted to research. One of the reasons that I really loved law school was the research. Before law school, my undergrad, I was a journalism major, and my emphasis, my focus was on investigations, the investigative journalism, because I wanted to get to the library and I wanted to research and I wanted to interview people and I wanted to research. And before that, when I was in high school, we did one of those little guidance counselor sessions where we all meet with our guidance counselor and we do the little career assessment. And the career assessment, what my chosen career was, what they told me I should have been when I was in high school, was a librarian. And what was really funny about that is in high school, I was a pom, so one of the pom-pom dancers. I was in theater. I was really smart. I got all A's. But I was in choir and I was bouncy and I was a dancer and I was flirting. And my personality seemed nothing like that of the stereotypical librarian. Being in theater, when I think of librarian, I think of Marion the librarian from Music Man. I think of being the spinster. I think of, you know, the stereotypical librarian, as did all of my friends, because they too were like, you know, the musical crowd and the dance crowd and stuff like that. So that was the big joke in high school, was that I was the librarian. And I would put on, my friend had glasses and she would always give me her glasses and I would like put them on my nose and I'd pin my hair up and I'd shake my finger and I'd say, you know, shh, be quiet, and you need to study. And there was this whole joke around me being the librarian. And that's why it struck me so funny to all of a sudden realize that the voice that I have heard my entire life, the voice that I have connected with my entire life, who has given me guidance my entire life, is the voice of the librarian. And it was just so special to me and so funny. I mean, just the whole cosmic humor that I never knew my guide's name. I never knew this voice that I was listening to. Well, my guide, the librarian, is who is guiding me. And the librarian is kind of a collective consciousness. The librarian isn't like a person or an entity, but the librarian is the cataloged collective of wisdom and knowledge, not only for me and for the past, but also for the people that I'm dealing with in my life. So that was my little exciting story about the librarian and how my guide finally has a name. And I love it because I now am going to be teaching you how to connect with your guides and how to increase your own intuition and show you how to bring that intuitive sense and that intuitive nature into your daily life, into your daily world. So you hopefully can have that guidance and do better and feel better and have more assurance. It's not necessarily that you will do better, but you will have more assurance that what you're doing is the right thing. And Even though I have not put together the course, I am going to be putting together a webinar on this, and I will offer that for sale on my website, which is www.pyramidfusion.com. I will also put the link to the course on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network page. I will also put it on my show page. And if for some reason you can't remember, you know, or get to either of those, of course you can always reach out to me. You can text me, you can call me, you can email me. Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com or 303-994-4945. Because this is such an important thing for humanity right now. And the information that I channeled, I believe, is going to help so many people. So with that, are you ready? Are you ready to get into this? Are you ready to learn how to connect with your spirit guides? I hope so. And like I said, this is just the cursory overview because the show is only 1 hour. And the course that I'm doing is going to be a 5-hour course. Actually, my live course is 5 hours, but there's some breaks in there. So the online webinar will probably be more like 4 hours. So no, you're not going to get every single experiential thing in this 1 hour, but I can give you the overview. And then if you're excited about it and want to go deeper, you can go deeper. Deal? It's a deal. Okay, so let's move on with that. Connecting with your spirit guides, using your intuition, becoming a medium. From where I stand, it's all the same thing. It's all reading energy. It's just figuring out what energy you are reading. Now, how I describe energy is on a spectrum from a low, slow vibration to a really fast vibration. In person, a great way to do this is to go outside in nature and to feel the earth, to ground into the earth, preferably a rocky place with soil, maybe without a lot of grass. I really would like you to get into the dirt. And I want you to focus on the energy of the earth, the pulse of the earth. Hold rocks. Put your feet on rocks. Sit on a granite boulder. Do whatever you can to get into that earthiness. If you know where a cave is, go get into a cave. I just want you to be as earthy and as connected to the earth as you possibly can. In that space, spend some moments breathing and feeling what the earth is saying to you. We will all experience that grounded earth energy differently, but to me, it truly is like a low, slow heartbeat. It's a pulse. It's a slow, rolling thunder almost that is continuous in the earth. And that to me is the lowest, slowest, deepest, most grounded vibration. And since we are of the earth, we are part of that vibration as well. And then you can play by picking up rocks and feeling how rocks, even though they are of the earth, are a bit different than the earth. Then you can touch trees and plants and the grass. And again, feel how they are a little bit higher of a vibration than the earth. They are a little bit more alive, a little bit more effervescent, maybe a little bit faster of a vibration. They serve different purposes. To me, I feel the difference between fast-growing plants like weeds and slow-growing plants like trees. There's a different energy. There's a different feel to them. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about what it is that I feel, because I want you to go out and experience whatever it is you feel. And the key here is there's no right or wrong to what you're feeling. You're just feeling and experiencing whatever it is you are feeling and experiencing. So allow yourself that gift. Feel the difference between the earth, the rocks, the plants, and the trees. Moving up a little bit higher on that energetic scale are the animals, the birds, the bees, the bugs. Feel those animals. They're a little bit higher up in vibration. They are still very grounded and connected to the earth and to the plants, but they're a little more conscious, a little more awake. Moving above the animals, wherever you're at outside, close your eyes and see if you can sense the humans around. The humans have a bigger energy field, maybe a little more dominant than the animals, maybe a little more of a fast vibration, maybe not. The difference for me between humans and animals is humans are just a bit more dominant. And animals more have the ability to flow in with the trees, the plants, the grass, the earth. But again, that's my impression, and my impression might not be the same as your impression. Give yourself the time to just feel it and see what you feel. After that, I want you to think about a deceased loved one. When we live here on earth, we are in body. When we have bodies and those bodies are in this 3D physical plane, we have a slower vibration. And I'm going to go into this a little bit more later. Once we cross to the other side, we set our bodies down. We release our bodies. We still have our thoughts and our personality, but we've set our body down so we are not as grounded. We are not as connected to the earth. We are no longer of the earth because we no longer have a physical body on the earth. So a deceased loved one feels like a human who's totally not grounded. And sometimes there are humans who aren't completely ungrounded humans. And sometimes they feel an awful lot like a deceased loved one. And sometimes that's difficult when you're doing a reading or something like that, because you don't know, is this energy that I'm picking up a deceased loved one, or is it a person who is kind of living in spirit, living in their head, who is not grounded to the earth? So play around with that realm and feel that and see if you can feel that. Then for me, instead of moving up the scale, because I feel very connected to the earth, the plants, the animals, the trees. I feel very connected to people around me, and I even feel very connected to deceased loved ones and deceased people. That spiritual realm, that angelic realm that kind of goes beyond that, since it's something that I am not currently like experiencing in my earthly life, I have a harder time continuing to move up the vibrational scale. So for me, what's easier is to drop it off at deceased loved ones and make the jump all the way to the tip top of the scale and then to feel my way back down. So that's the way I like to think about it. It could be the same for you. It could be different. But for me, I need to go all the way to the highest level. I need to go to ascended masters. I need to go to, and by ascended masters, I'm talking Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad. I'm talking the big dudes. I'm talking all the way up as high as it gets. And how I feel that energy and read that energy is, to me, it's literally like the sound of angels singing. So if you're outside or wherever you're at when you practice this, you can do this, you know, laying in bed at night, sitting on your couch. You can do this at your desk, in your office. It doesn't matter. Literally relax. And in your mind's eye, hear the sound of angels singing. That but really fast, really high vibration, really gentle, not shrill and sharp like my voice, but that really beautiful angelic singing. And I want you to spend a few minutes just hearing it and allowing it to purify you, to purify your body, your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your emotions. Allow that in to purify you. And sometimes for me, it's a little hard to take because it feels like there's pressure around my head. It feels like, I don't know if you've ever been in the car and you have the windows up and a car pulls up next to you and they've got some music going on and the bass does that boom, boom, boom. And the pressure in your own car is so intense, you're like, ah! And you have to crack your windows to like break up that pressure because it's so strong and it's painful. And to me, sometimes moving into that super high vibration can be painful because it's so intense. It's such an intense pressure and energy, but it's an intensity that feels so good all at the same time. So as you're imagining that sound, bring it down over your forehead, over your face. I oftentimes feel it in my cheekbones. Feel it in the sinus cavity. Feel it in your jaw. Feel it in your heart. Drop it down and let that sound permeate and come in all around you. And that is the highest level. That is that ascended master level. And what I want to say about ascended masters, just kind of for clarity, and what they have to do with hearing your guide. In order to connect with your guide, you have to connect with your ascended master. And it doesn't matter what religious tradition you come from or what religious tradition you want to be a part of. You can use Jesus. You can use Buddha. You can use pick your ascended master. But an ascended master is somebody who has walked the earth, somebody who has transcended their physical body. Jesus lived the perfect example of humanness on life, in life. He is the example of how to live life right, to how to live life connected to spirit, how to live life in the vortex, if you're an Esther Hicks fan, how to do it right. Same thing with Muhammad, same thing with Buddha, same thing with any of the ascended masters. They are beings that lived lives as humans and that were able to transcend their humanness and we're able to be the ideal example. So that is the ascended master. And the reason that that is an important person to connect to first is because they are the person that provides you the bridge. And by bridge, I mean literally a bridge. You as a human want to do better. You need to look to somebody who has also been a human who has done better. They have traveled the path and they are now showing you the path for you to take. And we'll get into why that's more important a little bit later as well. But I want to start off with that. That's where you have to go. It's not about connecting with your spirit guides. It is, but you first have to connect with your ascended master because your spirit guide is step two. And we'll get into that a little bit later. So the ascended masters are top. They're the angels singing. They are that highest vibration. Then for me, it's easier to drop down a little bit from that super high vibration. The Ascended Masters are all in that spirit space. They are in that quantum field. They are all together. They are all unified. If you come from a tradition where you want to speak with Jesus, the Jesus energy will come out of that field. If you have got the Buddha energy or the Muhammad energy, that energy will drop out of that field and will work with you. But all the Ascended Masters live, so to speak, in that really high range. So dropping down a range under the Ascended Master realm is the angelic realm. Now the angels and guide realm, the angels and guides do not have bodies, have not had bodies. Now there are some exceptions, I'm just talking generally. So they are not a guide in the same way an Ascended Master is. An Ascended Master has been there, done that, so they are showing you the path. The angels have not necessarily done that exact same path. The guides have not transcended everything in their life. They have taken steps and they have gone really far along the path, but they haven't done it all. And the angels are there, but they're always in spirit, and they always have been, and they always will be. So they can give you guidance, but they haven't done the work. That's the difference. So that energy feels a little bit under, a little bit heavier, because they haven't completed that entire journey. And again, there's no judgment on the journey. There's no judgment on that. It's just where the energies fall, so you can know where to read them. So under that angelic layer, that guides layer, that spirit guides layer, then you can start dropping back in and connecting to the deceased loved ones. And then that makes that whole gamut. That gives you that entire energetic connection from the tip top down to the grounded earth. And the first step in connecting with your guides and increasing your intuition is understanding that stratosphere, understanding that energetic component of where things fall, and also giving yourself touchstones of experiences within that realm so you know where you're at when you are trying to channel your own spirit guides, when you are trying to pray and connect with Jesus, when you are trying to tune in to your own deceased loved ones. You need to understand where they fall on the spectrum so you know where to reach them. Because when you're reaching for something, you have to be reaching in the right place. If there is a dresser and it's filled with drawers, and there is a sock drawer, and there is a t-shirt drawer, and there is an underwear drawer, and there is a junk drawer, and there is a blue jean drawer, you can reach in the underwear drawer all day long and you're not going to pull out blue jeans. You need to go to the right drawer to find the socks. If you want socks, go to the sock drawer. If you want underwear, go to the underwear drawer. If you want a t-shirt, go to the t-shirt drawer. So that's why it's important, step one, to kind of figure out that whole strata of energy and where things are, so you know where to go to find who you're looking for. Ta-da! Step one is done. Now, in the class that I'm putting together, we'll actually do way more exercises in figuring that out. And you'll be able to ask questions so you can have some real touchstones along the way. But at least hopefully now you kind of have an understanding about what that energy realm is and what it means. Okay, so now on connecting with your spirit guides. Now that you know where your spirit guides live, you know where to find them. Now you know what drawer they're in, so you know what drawer to pull out and open when you're trying to connect with them. I said spirit guides is actually step two. So now I'm going to go more into that. The Ascended Masters were step one. It's really important to know why you want to connect with your spirit guides. Do you want to connect with your spirit guides because it sounds really cool and everybody's talking about it? What's your reason? Now, it's surprising, but most people will say, I don't really know. Isn't it going to make things easier? Well, yes, but only if you know why you're connecting with them and what you're doing and how this whole stinking process works, because otherwise, it's just kind of the game. It's literally like calling somebody up and saying, I have nothing to say, I just wanted to call you. And I thought my life would be better if I called you. So what do you have to tell me? Well, your guides don't really usually have much to tell you unless you're asking them what to tell you. So that's why it's important to figure out why you want to connect with your spirit guides. And when you have that reason in your mind, and then when you ask them, hey, I want to connect with you because I need help on, then it's much more easy to have a dialogue and you're much more easy to hear them. It's not that our spirit guides are there being stubborn and refusing to talk to us, but it is like us picking up the phone and dialing some random person and just saying, hey, I don't know why I'm calling, but let's talk. And the other person going, alrighty, I was in the middle of dinner and I don't really know what to say. What do you want to talk about? Well, I don't know. I just called you because I think things are going to get better if I talk to you. Okay, well, what do you want to talk about? Because I don't know what I want to talk about. So I want you to think about it in terms of that. Why do you want to connect with your guides? Ask them and tell them why you want to connect, and then you're going to be able to have a dialogue. Remember, a dialogue takes two. Guides aren't going to just dump a whole bunch of information to us. It's a dialogue. They are very helpful. They are guides. It is their job. It's like calling tech support and not giving them any information. It's just saying, fix me. Well, what's broken? I don't know. Just fix me, your tech support. Doesn't work that way. Yes, they're tech support, but you need to tell them what the problem is. You need to have a subject line in order to have a dialogue. So now that is hopefully pretty crystal clear. And we're going to go into the Ascended Master realm. Number one, if you look at the Bible or have attended church or have talked to any spiritual type of people, you will probably remember hearing about the importance of being humble, the importance of humility, the importance of, you know, not being prideful. Let me explain what that is all about and why it's important and why it has everything to do with connecting with your spirit guides. On earth, we are in a body. Our soul, our spirit, our essence, whatever you call it, is housed in our body. We are driving our bodies. One of the things that the librarian channeled to me on our hike was in regards to the shroud. And I'm not really sure what the shroud of Turin, the shroud of Jesus truly is. I'm going to have to go research that. But what I heard is it is actually not in reference to the real physical shroud itself. It is in reference to the body and the fact that the body shrouds our spirit. And that as long as we are alive, we have a body and that we are shrouded. And that the humility that the Bible speaks about is our humility in realizing that we are shrouded, we are blindfolded. And the librarian was very clear with me, if we are alive, we are flying blind. If we are alive, our spirit essence is shrouded. If we are alive, we don't know it all. And that is that step, very first basic step that the Bible and other spiritual texts talk about, humility. We need to understand that if we are alive, we are blind. So, what does that mean? Have you ever played that game where there are two people and you sit back to back and one person is given a picture and the other person is given a pad of paper and a pen or a pencil. And the person with the picture is supposed to describe the picture in enough detail that the person with the pencil or the pen and the paper can draw that picture based only on their description. And this is what I'm going to be doing in my workshop, but you can imagine it not actually having the experience, although it is more valuable to actually have the experience. When that happens, the person explaining the picture really thinks they are doing it in a crystal clear manner. They will say things like, draw a circle. Now draw a line through that circle that's kind of like the horizon. So left to right, draw a line through that circle. On the top half of the circle, I want you to draw three little triangles all in a row. On the bottom half of the circle, I want you to do a spiral, spiraling left to right that funnels in, and so on and so forth. And the person drawing the picture is listening to every single thing the person describing is saying, and 9 times out of 10, the picture is nowhere near the same. It's exactly correct, but it is exactly not what the person describing the picture intended. For example, draw a circle on the piece of paper. That can be a dime-sized circle, or that can fill up the entire paper. Draw a line through the circle like the horizon. On the top half of the circle, dividing the circle equally in half, 2/3, 1/3. Does the line stop inside the walls of the circle? Does the line extend clear to the edges of the paper? Draw three little triangles in the top, all in a line. Are they touching each other in the middle? Or are they three triangles extending the entire length of the circle? Or do they even go outside the circle? There's so much that is still left open for interpretation, and it's all correct, but there's still a lot left open for interpretation. That's what happens in life. We have our own ascended master. We have Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or whoever. We have our spiritual authority in our life, Joseph Smith. It doesn't matter who your spiritual authority is. We have our spiritual authority. And when we dedicate our lives to growing or to Christ or to whoever we dedicate our lives to, in essence, we're saying, guide me. You've done it. You're offering me the bridge. I want a bridge too. I want to walk the path that you walked. I want to follow in your footsteps. I want help getting there. I want help getting in the vortex. I want help becoming spiritual. I want help living life right. I want to be your good and faithful servant. And the only way I can do that is by following the path that you lay out. So these ascended masters lay out the path. And this path might look something like travel straight for 5 miles. Then take a 90-degree turn to the right and go 3/4 of a mile. Then take a sharp S-curvy turn towards the left that's going to loop you back around and cross over that 90-degree angle and go on that for 7 miles. And even though we're hearing those directions, it's just like when we're sitting back to back. We're misinterpreting some of them. Or we lose our humility. And guess what happens when we lose our humility? Yes, we think we don't need to listen. We forget that we are shrouded. Remember when I said if we're alive, we're blindfolded. If we're alive, we're shrouded. If we're alive, we're covered. That is that first phase of being humble and finding our humility. The second we forget that we are alive, and the second we forget that we are covered, we forget that we are blindfolded, the second that we think, I've got this down, I've been doing really well and I've got this down, I pray, I meditate, I read spiritual books, I talk to people, I have a coach, the second we forget that if we're alive, we're shrouded, we mess up. and we disconnect and we decide, even though they told us go straight for 7 miles and then take a right-hand turn, we think, you know what, I've got this. I'm going to only go straight for 6 miles and I'm going to take, instead of a right-hand turn, kind of a 45-degree turn, and then I'll make that shortcut and I'll cut up here. Well, we forget that we're blindfolded and that when we're doing that, we are off the path. And when we're off the path, we run into pitfalls that we didn't see coming, but that our ascended master did see coming, because never forget that they walked the path before us. They know where we need to go. We don't. We're blind. Which is why we need our spirit guides and our angels. Imagine yourself sitting back to back with your ascended master, you and Jesus, you and Buddha, and that they are describing where you need to go, and that you're not understanding exactly what they mean by draw a circle. What do you mean draw a circle? A quarter-sized circle? A circle that fills the page? What do you mean? An even circle? A lopsided circle? I mean, there's so much there. Our guides and our angels are able to transcend both. They are able to fly from side to side, to loop around, to peek on both sides. So as our guide says, draw, or as our master says, draw a circle, and we say, I don't know, when we draw a circle. And then when we ask our guides for help, what we're saying is, help me with a circle. Am I doing it right? And then they go back around to our ascended master, and they're like, oh, you drew that circle way too small. I think you need to draw more the size of a 45 vinyl record. Yep, that's about the size. And then we go, oh, okay. And then Jesus says, draw a line left to right, like the horizon. And we go, and we completely do it at the top of our circle. And we do it clear to the end of the page. And then we say, I did it. But then we need to check in with our guides and say, is this right? Did we do this right? And our guides can say, yes, that's in the exact location, but it shouldn't touch the edges of the paper. It should only touch the edge of the circle. And then we say, okay, because our guides can go back and forth. Our guides can transcend this grounded earthly realm and the spiritual realm. We are blindfolded. Our guides are not. We are blindfolded. The angels are not. So that's why it is imperative that we know why we are talking to our guides. We can't just say, hey, guide, give me guidance. I mean, we can, but what's the point? Because like I said, that's like calling up some random phone number and saying, hey, whoever you are, give me guidance. You need to have a topic. You need to have a subject. You need to have a reason. So then the guide can move around and provide guidance. So your angels can move around and provide comfort. So they can tell you, yes, you're on the right track, or, oh, no, you are way off. Or, did you know you're taking a shortcut and it might not work so well over here, but over here it will? That's why we talk to our guides. And that is so important for us to understand. So let's recap. Understanding that whole stratosphere of energy, grounded earthly energy, all the way up to singing angel vibration. That tells you what drawer to look in when you are seeking input from your angels, from your guides, from Christ, from Jesus, from Buddha, from whoever. From deceased loved ones, from your animals, from nature. Know what drawer to look in. Know where to find people. Once you know where to find people, then tune your energy there. So if I am seeking out Christ, I am seeking a slightly higher drawer than if I am seeking out my guide, than if I am seeking out my deceased loved ones, than if I am seeking out the energy of like fairies and gnomes and things like that. Know what drawer to look in is step one. Step two, are you connected with your ascended master? Are you on the path? Are you on the map? And then once you are, once you know where you're going, then you know what to talk to your guides about. Now, you may be off the map. You may be at such a place where you're like, I don't even know what to ask because I need help. That's fine too, because then you can ask that. And then the question becomes, I don't know if I'm on the right path at all. I don't have someone that I'm working with. I don't have any beliefs or ideas, and I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I need you to help direct me in the right place. And then they can help direct you in that right place. And they can direct you with people too, and they can direct you with your job and your family and your friends and money and your career, and they can school and education. They can help you with all sorts of things because they have this clear vision, because they are not blindfolded in the way we are blindfolded. Because remember, if we're alive, we're shrouded. If we're alive, we're blindfolded. And that's why we need guides and angels, because they can see where we can't see. So hopefully this has been a good condensed summary of how to start tuning into your guides, how to find them in which drawer, what the different energy feels like, then what is it that you are seeking, and how to have that dialogue with them. And it's not that there's a right or a wrong way to talk to your guides or your angels. You can talk to them about anything that you want. Just from a practical point of view, I want to help you by making you more aware and more clear about what it is you're asking them, and about maybe the reason why, when sometimes you feel like you're not getting an answer, is because you're not posing a question. And it's not that they have forsaken you, and it's not that you can't hear. It's just that maybe the question isn't formulated. Because if you're anything like me, you've probably been in a situation a time or two where somebody asks you a question and you sit there and you're like, I don't know what you're asking. Are you asking for my opinion? Are you just sharing your thought? Are you asking for permission? Are you asking for me to stop you? What is it that you're asking? And when you're in that situation, it's sometimes difficult to clarify. So that's what I want to kind of provoke in you. Be very clear and specific in your question, because that will help them help you. So then the receiving of the answer, that's kind of that next place. We all sense information differently. One of my favorite examples is if you think about the last movie you saw or the last book you read, think about that story. What is it that comes to mind for you? Do you think about what you saw on the screen? Do you think about the images that were created in your head as you read the book? Do you hear the music swelling? Do you hear, you know, the hoofbeats and the people's voices? Do you hear voices in your head when you're reading the book? Do you hear the characters speak? Do you remember the feeling? Do you remember that ache or that longing or that desire or just the passion and the drive? Do you remember the feeling of the movie? And it could be one that's very dominant. It could be a couple, and it could be all three. And the reason that is important is because that provides the clue about how you are going to hear your guides. When you think about books or movies or whatever, and it is visual, you see Scarlett O'Hara, you see the Civil War, and you see the bombs, and you see all of that. And when you think about the movie and you see the costumes and the visuals and the cinematography, when you see all of that, you might be a more visual person. So your answers from your guides might come in the form of visual cues. Whether that is visual cues in the physical realm, like you might see pennies, or you might see feathers, or you might see a certain bird or something like that, or you might see something in your mind's eye. When you are reading a book, you're not seeing anything except the words on the page, but you're seeing the pictures in your head. The words are creating the pictures in your head. And that's sometimes how your guides communicate with you. And that is when I see spirit, whether it's deceased loved ones or guides or angels or just intuitive things, I see them as pictures in my head, as if I were reading and creating those pictures in my head based on the words. And think about that process when you're reading something and you're getting that picture in your head. You're not necessarily creating the sky and the clouds and the color of the dirt and the color of the dresses and the color of somebody's hair, because typically the author doesn't go into all that detail. The author can set the scene. Scarlett O'Hara had the green dress and she had this beautiful dark hair and she had magnolia white skin, but you're filling in the details. The author is not talking about the size of her palms and how her fingernails were or were not manicured. And there's a lot of things that you fill in your mind that weren't given to you. And that is how I see spirit. And that is how I see my intuitive stuff. It comes into my head and different details are there and different details are not. So sometimes when I'm doing a reading for something, for somebody, and somebody will come in and I'll say, it feels like it's a deceased loved one because it feels human, but they're not connected to the earth and they're not high enough to be angels. So it feels like a deceased loved one. And I see a shock of white hair that's kind of sticking up. And then they'll say, well, does he have blah, 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 blah. Well, sometimes I can see that and sometimes I can't see that. And sometimes when you expect to see something, it's different than what you expect. So just know that. And same thing like with your guides. People say, well, what does my guide look like? And it's always like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I see your guide's energy. I see your guide's wisdom. I see some colors or some shapes or some patterns. It's not like there is a holographic image of a person sitting there and that I can look down and say, oh, well, your guide wears Birkenstocks and, you know, yoga pants with an Irish sweater and has red hair and glasses and they're wearing mala beads. I don't see those details clearly because I see the image in my mind's eye, but I don't see it like I'm looking at a picture. And again, people are different, but that's how it is for me. So going back to the movie example, if you are hearing things, if you read books and you hear the dialogue in your head and you hear the voices, like when I read books, I will hear the females' voices and sometimes I'll hear them as shrill and nagging and sometimes I'll hear them as peaceful and loving and then I'll hear the deepness of a man's voice or the youthfulness of a voice and I'll hear those voices in my head and the voices change depending on the voice of the character. Or if I think about a movie and it's the soundtrack and it's this swelling soundtrack and the music takes me away. Like I just saw the Incredibles movie and I love the Incredibles theme. And when I think about that movie, I get that soundtrack in my head. That's that auditory piece. So if you tend to be high auditory, you might hear things in your head that are messages from your guides. And sometimes they are clear words, but most often for me, they're packets of ideas. Like, yes, you are on the right path, or I'm getting this idea about education and da da da, and I'm hearing things. When I actually saw my husband for the first time, I heard in my head, you are going to marry that man. And it made no sense at the time at all. But I heard that. They were just words that like dropped into my head. And I heard that packet of thought. So if you tend to be high auditory, that's possibly how your guides will communicate with you. Now, the other way is just that feeling. If you think about a book and go, oh, I love that book, and you don't really, it's not that you don't know why you loved it, but it's the feeling, oh, the passion, the romance, the whatever. If you watch a movie and you go, oh, that was the best movie ever, and you just love the feeling, you loved being taken away by it, whether, again, it was the romance or the drama or whatever, if you love that feeling, your guides might communicate with you primarily through feelings. And that's that gut feeling of don't turn here, don't turn here, don't turn here, don't turn here. Or call so-and-so. You need to call so-and-so. Call so-and-so. Or whatever feeling it is, it's just that gut feeling. Reach out and touch that person. Go over here. Turn left. Say that. Look up. Just that gut feeling. So using the books and the movies, again, they're just examples to get you to understand what it's like to feel in those different senses. And whatever your dominant one is, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, that is primarily how your guides will communicate with you, because that is your primary sense. And since I said earlier, communicating with your guides is a dialogue, it takes both parts. It takes you asking a clear, concise question to the right drawer, which is where to find your guides. And then it takes you listening. Listening is such an important skill, and we don't listen well in our human lives, and we don't listen well in our metaphysical lives either. Listening means take time and focus. Focus on what you're seeing in your mind's eye. Focus on what you're hearing in your head. And focus on what you're feeling in your body. And that is how you hear your guide. And that is how you open up communication. And let me tell you, you really can't hear your guides when you've got music blasting and you're talking to people and you're on your laptop and on your phone. In the same way, you can't hear your spouse or your friend or your boss when you're doing all that stuff either. So listen, pose those questions, go to the right drawer, tune in, and then sit back and listen. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope it's been enlightening. I really, truly, deeply look forward to more connection with the librarian, with my guide. I look forward to working with you so you can increase your own intuition and so you can learn how to connect with your guides as well. As usual, please reach out to me if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, because I love to talk. I process very well when I talk. And in the meantime, be on the lookout for this as my digital downloadable course, webinar, whatever. Laura@pyramidfusion.com. www.pyramidfusion.com or 303-994-4945. Have the most glorious week ever. Please practice tuning in and connecting with your guides, and then practice listening, and then let me know where you get. Thank you for listening. Have a glorious, wonderful, magical week. And as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.